Okay. If not, I'll get in trouble later. It won't be recorded. Hey, that's all right too. So this is Scott's try, take two. Did it last week, doing it this week. I'm going to try to finish up just some of the concepts of faith. We've talked about what faith is, the most important thing is what you have your faith in, not the amount of faith you have. And we gave examples of believing God above believing ourselves. I like the one in there is faith comes in when man decides not to rely on himself but to believe God, pretty much. And that's where faith comes in, believing God. Where I want to go to today is I want to sort of look in and see, we've talked about having faith in God, but faith in God depends upon what we believe and what we have set in our hearts of what God's intentions for us are. Because that's the hardest part of faith, believing God's intentions for us are good. Let's look at to Romans. Romans chapter 8. We're going to go from 31 to 39. And chapter 8 is just full, that you could never stop reading it. On 31 it says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? These things were that Christ came, died, and we are his children, we have become into sonship with him, that we are no longer slaves to sin. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will we not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to slaughter. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then in response to these things? What shall we say in response to every trial, everything that we go through in our lives? What is our response then to Nick coming off the tractor? What is response to our cancer? What is the response to the depression, to the lies that we hear? What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? The against us there is not so much of who's fighting against us, but it's more so who's trying to pull us down. It's pulling down. Who's trying to take us off track, pull us down? Because they can't fight against us because Christ is on our side. So then the goal is not to stop us, but to pull us down. Well, stop us by pulling us down, not by defeating us. There is no battle. There is no war. The fight is done. It is finished. Who can pull us down if Christ is for us? Because if he is for us and his love, because he did not even spare his own son. He did not give up even his son because of his great love that is for us. His great love for us, he did not even give his son up. And even goes further then, because it's the fact that who can bring us down, it's because of accusations, right? As we walk around, we get accused. We get accused from others saying, you're not worthy, saying things that we don't like you, especially with teenagers. We don't want to hang out with you. We have those types of situations. As a veterinarian, you're a bad veterinarian. Accusations come, they come, they come. One of my biggest fears if somebody gives me a compliment at work is, in a few days, I'm going to be torn down. That's wrong on my part, but it seems like that's the way it always goes. But it's those accusations that pull us down. But it says then, who is then that condemns? Who can bring a charge? No one, because it is God who justifies. Nothing we do justifies. Nothing we do gets us correct with God. There is nothing at all that we can accomplish on our own. It is because it is God himself that justifies us, and that justification is only through Jesus Christ. Nothing that we can do. Nothing. We are but lambs taken to slaughter. But thanks be to God, he pulls us through. Because he is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us day and night. He is seated. He is seated. He is not standing at the right hand of God. He is seated. When you are seated, it means the work is accomplished. The work is finished. There is nothing more to do. He is finished. He's interceding for us. We are justified in God by him. Our faith is dependent upon that knowledge, that fact, and nothing else can change it. And then right after that, he says, who can condemn us? No one. No one can condemn us. You notice that? Who condemn us? We think, well, God can condemn us. It says no one condemn us. Because we are in Christ. If we know Christ as Lord and Savior, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because he takes it all upon himself and has justified us. And because of that, we are no longer able to be separated from the love of God. Whether we go as far as we go, I love how he says it, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, death, life, angels, demons, past, present, future, anything in this created world would never be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what our faith is in. Our faith is in the love of God, and that all he has in mind for us is good. That gets us to the point where what happens when things go wrong? What happens when the storm comes in when we're the ship? Is it okay to ask God questions? Is it okay to call out to God, why? Why is this occurring? Yeah. It's okay to ask God questions. Ask him what is going on. What's wrong is when we question God. Because when we question God, we're demanding an answer from him. You can ask God all the questions you want, but don't question what he's doing. That's where faith comes in. Our faith is that he knows what we need. He has our best in interest. He knows the outcome. And his whole goal is to get us to the other side, so that we can be with him in eternity and enjoy him forever. Everything else is just a walk, is just a movement. In Isaiah 40, it ends up with, you know, we lift our eyes up to the heavens, who created all the things, who brings out the starry host one by one, calls them forth each of them by name. Because of his great and power might, there is none missing. Israel is stuck going into captivity. They look at this. Isaiah writes this. And later on down, he goes, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. He has promised us when those times come, those trials come, those parts in our life that we have to get through, he will give us the strength. When you look at the eagles and eaglets, you know how their nests are way, way up high in the trees? Those eaglets have to learn how to fly sometime. And what happens when they get old enough? They get pushed out of the nest. And they try to fly. And they're fledgling. They're falling. They're tumbling. They're going to die. That's probably what they're feeling like. What the heck's going on? Their wings aren't working. But what will happen is that the mom eagle will swoop down underneath, catch them, and get them safely back to the nest. On the wings of eagles, when we're frailing or falling, and we can't get to where we're going, we're tumbling, God will swoop in on the wings of eagles, catch us, and take us up where we belong in his presence, if we just let him. If we just let him. Also then, when it says they will run and not grow weary, if you think about that in times of troubles, that he does get us the strength to run through it, to put our heads down and make our way and push through. Push through our difficulties. Push through the struggles of this life to get us to the other side, so that we can look back and see his glory. We can see how he manipulated. We can see that tractor getting stuck on a tree. We can see his hand and how he's worked when we look back as he presses us through. They will walk and not grow faint. Sometimes we have to walk through it, but he gives us the ability to walk through it and not fall down. In those times, it may not be necessarily to get us through the problem, but to change us, to walk through life and change what needs to be changed, to not grow faint in changing who we are so that we reflect him more and more and more. That one part on there, too, it says, you know, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. So to get this, to get saved by the wings of eagles, to run through our troubles, to walk and not grow faint, we need to wait on the Lord to move. Waiting here, the term for it, has a couple different definitions. Wait in this term, if you look it up in the concordance, it means to wait eagerly expecting, but it also has this meaning of binding together. Like almost like a rope where you bind the cords around and around and around and around. To pleate, I think is what the word is. You bind these and interweave them, and it makes a cord, it makes a rope that cannot be easily broken. Waiting on the Lord means to intertwine with him, to sit at his presence, to wait and watch in excitement what he is going to do. Whether he's going to come down and swoop, whether he's going to run us through, or whether he's going to walk us through, it doesn't matter. We get to see him work. And the faith comes in that says, I know it's going to happen, and I'm walking that way, and I'm looking for the day for it to occur. We just pray for Gabe up there this week. We pray that those that are there that do not know Jesus Christ will come to know him, that they will be able to see what we know, that we have a God that we can put our faith in, that loves us beyond measure, that can never be separated from his love, and that we can go out in that strength. And that's what I want to occur this week. Go out, stand firm, and stand in the presence of God, knowing that he has you covered and that he will see you through. Father, we just thank you and praise you. Father, you are our strength. You are our deliverance. Father, you are the wings on which we ride. Father, you are our breath that gets us through. And Father, we just lay our lives to you. Our faith, our complete hope is in you, that you alone are the one that has good intent to us. And we know that you'll see us through and get us to the glorious side. We're with you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.